Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pache. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love in Aramaic Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael or myself or the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mindshifters Radio. Hi, and welcome to the show. Today is Monday, February the 25th, 2019, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. Honored and delighted that you're here, that we get to play with these ideas and understand how these tools work and just how absolutely amazing and powerful they are. I'm still in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm actually driving right now. I'm doing some errands before I fly tomorrow. And so if there's a little bit of road noise, I'll apologize for that and hope that things are quiet enough to be able to hear me all right. But beyond that, we're bringing forward these tools on a global scale. It's interesting. The Mindshifters and Soul Point Breathing workshop on Sunday was just so amazingly powerful. One gentleman was there that had done some of the Soul Point work 20 years ago and then kind of backed off and disappeared, stopped doing worksheets and such. So he came to the workshops all week. And then breathed with us on Saturday, and during his breath, it was just like the whole message and the whole experience came back from 20 years ago, and it was kind of fun and funny because he couldn't help himself laughing the whole time, and he identified that had been, since he started doing his work, it had been like way back in the early days of this work. It had been 39 years ago, so it was like, oh my God, I've spent my 40 years in the desert, and it's almost the literal 40 years. And the message that he got literally 20 years ago, he finally understood. He hadn't stuck with the work in a regular way, so it kind of escaped him, and all of a sudden the whole thing came back. It's like, oh my God, how amazing. And then, you know, the power of the forgiveness process is a gentleman who's a very successful businessman, several businesses, and he did his first worksheet this weekend and came up to me afterward. And he's like, you know, I've always puzzled at why, when there's chaos around me, in my businesses, in my home, when there's chaos, it just blows me out. I just go berserk. And just that simple act of locating the right goal, and it was over a totally unrelated circumstance, but selecting the right goal and canceling it, he was able to collapse into the root of this chaos issue that had been going on in his life for decades. And this is a guy about 50 that, you know, just didn't understand why this chaos was so much of a disturbance. And he went back and had the memory of being a child and watching his parents in their struggle, in their fighting. And that the root, he shared with me, the root of the trauma that he's been going through since he was about 8 years old was from the memory of believing that his father might actually kill his mother. And that was, has been under the surface in his life for 40 odd years every time there was something going on in the external world. And you know, you just, it always amazes me when people go to, when they engage in the forgiveness process, what comes up for people when they engage in the mind shifter tool, and how rapidly, literally, a whole life can turn around. It's just, you know, if you've got somebody in your world that's in pain, in trauma, literally the end of suffering is the use of the tool of forgiveness. And, of course, that tool of forgiveness is not about me letting you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. That tool of forgiveness is about how I go inside myself, get to the root of my trauma, and change it. And for the last week, we've been talking about the mind shifter tool, and I get the sense that perhaps that conversation is not complete yet. I would invite people who've been working on the mind shifter that you got last week to share with us your story, what happened, what opened, what kind of breakthroughs did you get? And Jeannie, since I'm driving, I don't have a mind shifter sheet with me, but maybe you could have them handy. And if somebody did not get a mind shifter last week, we could show them how to acquire one and put that on the list. So is Dr. Tim with us, sweetie?
He is, and he's on.
Well, let's say hello to Dr. Tim and see how the young man is doing.
I'm doing well. I'm shocked at the brevity of your intro, which is completely out of character for you these days. You must be in a...
Well, I want to go back. I want to stay with the mind shifter, so the intro from last Monday is still working, I think.
All right. Well, it's a powerful tool, and... I'm at the same time, you know, I think it's important to understand, because I just had somebody in my office that's been struggling for quite a while and has been introduced to the tools and has was just saying today that worksheet stuff hasn't had the dramatic results for her that she's heard other people have and that she really wants. So while you can have an experience like the one that you just described, it's also very, very common, and there's nothing wrong with me if I start doing worksheets and I don't get those powerful results right away. It's important for me to be gentle with myself and understand that process, and I might have to peel off a number of layers before I actually get access to the willingness that my conscious logical mind tells me I have. I might not be anywhere near as willing at deeper levels as my conscious logical mind wants me to believe. So I might pick up a worksheet and fill it out and take a breath and cancel my goal and feel like I didn't get much of anything done. And I might do it again and again, and then I might start to get some frustration resonating, and I might start to have a belief that it works for everybody but me, and I just want to be patient, and I want to keep doing the worksheets and maybe start doing the worksheets on the negative emotions that come up when I think the worksheet isn't working for me. So that's my input for today, is just the recognition that while there are some wonderful stories of dramatic transformations that happen with breath sessions and worksheets, that there are many, many other people who apply the tool, the breath work and the worksheet, dozens and dozens and dozens of times without getting those dramatic breakthroughs. And yet, truth be told, there's a benefit in every time I do the process.
Good point, Tim. I'm in full agreement with you, and of course I've observed that over and over and over again, and realizing that it is a process. And sometimes that resistance, when we talk about the Aramaic idea of Satan, and in Aramaic, the word Satan is not a dude with the red suit and tail and pitchfork. The word Satan is the resistor, one who misleads. And when we have that part of us that's in resistance, it's a process. Sometimes, you know, people will hit a plateau and they might do worksheets regularly for months, and it seems like nothing moves, and then all of a sudden, bang, the breakthrough happens and everything starts to shift. So it's definitely a process. And once you realize the process is there, of course, everybody wants to storm the gates. But as the ancient scripture said, you can't storm the gates of the kingdom of heaven. You just have to do your work. Actually, in the Still Point session on Saturday, the lady, and if you're listening, Joan, thank you for hosting me and all that's happened. But Joan was part of the Still Point workshop on Saturday, and her partner was in a lot of pain and resistance, and it was so perfect. You know, Joan is like right on, ready to work with people and works with people and really supporting them. And it was perfect to have this person who had literally a dozen different stories about why she couldn't go through this, why she couldn't come out the other side. And so it was great, you know, a perfect example for Joan to be there and watch so closely, supporting and guiding someone through the resistance that holds back. And then to have that young lady come back on Sunday and just like a whole new layer peeled off. But supporting and moving through the resistance is sometimes quite a challenge, for sure. So, you know, and if you look at the average person when they're in the middle of their muddle and you say, well, have you noticed that you're the only one that's been there all 87 different times with all 42 different people that this has happened with? And, you know, people resist looking at that. No. Let me tell you, the problem is really them and them. So that's the first half of the definition of Satan. And the second half is one who misleads. And so when this resistor comes up, it's got a story. And its story is always, of course, about how somebody else is the problem in our lives. And so being able to let go of that story and embrace what's happening on the irrational level and recognizing that the whole thing is about an energy process. It's not about an intellectual process. Sometimes there will be cognitive awareness as the energy moves and lifts, and sometimes there won't. And to be aware that, to be careful that when the conscious, logical mind wants to grab a hold of something, say, oh, this is it, to let it go, to breathe, to let it move, and engage in the forgiveness process opens the next layer and the next level. So thank you for that, that bringing that point up, because it is definitely in the context of watching people make miraculous breakthroughs, important to acknowledge that that isn't always the case. So any other thoughts for you, Tim, before we check the phone lines?
Let's see if anybody has a hand up.
Okay.
We do have a hand up.
Great. Let's say hello.
Area code 808, I think it's probably Roma.
It's Roma. Hello,
there,
everybody.
Aloha. Aloha.
Aloha. You sound very happy today. You must have
I'm
had
rocking.
A wonderful week teaching all those classes. And
I'll tell you, the weekend, you know, Saturday I did Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. Friday night I had a workshop. Saturday we went from 8 in the morning till about 5 in the afternoon. Then Sunday morning I did a Sunday service. And Sunday afternoon I did a 3-hour workshop. And then Sunday evening I did a workshop with the board of the church. And so the energy is just rocking and moving. And
wow.
It's,
I can really hear it.
It's a delight to be in it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I wanted to give you an update. My mind shifter from last, was it only a week ago?
It was. Last Monday we started the process,
these
I think.
Mind shifters? Huh?
Yeah. I believe it was last Monday.
A lot. So much has shifted in my energy field since then that it doesn't seem like a week ago. But mine was 3-5, which is God, my mother, father, and I approve of my being a sexual being. And so when I began, I put that on the left side, and then when I began writing on the right side, the first thing that came up was an incident with my mother where when I was 20 years old, I finally fell in love and lost my virginity. And when my mother found out about it, she was the only real support structure I had in my life because I'd lost my father through divorce some years earlier, 15 years earlier.
Right.
She called me a whore. And
wow.
I was so devastated. I was just so devastated. And that was the beginning of my sexual, of my active sexual life in this lifetime. So it put me at a great disadvantage. So that was really very helpful for that to come up for me. And most of the other things...
Good interfering energy to get rid of, for sure.
Yeah, really. Very important. And I have noticed a major shift in my energy field ever since then. And one of the things I realized, I was kind of amazed that something so painful for me, an experience that was so painful for me at the time, that I hadn't done a worksheet on it before. And the dimension of grief and pain was so deep that it helped me to realize that I didn't feel the support. I think one of the reasons that people might find themselves doing a worksheet and not feeling like they're making much progress is because we really need the support of other loving consciousness just being there for us to go through this. And the fact that we had done this as a group on Monday last week, that you had
right.
given them out to all so many of us, maybe a dozen people, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
I knew that we were all working on these things as a group. And even though here I was sitting alone here in my house, I had the assurance, the absolute assurance that I wasn't alone. And I think that that extra element of added support makes a huge difference, because the dimension of pain that I had to bring out of me regarding that event was so profound that it really was not that surprising that I hadn't actually gotten to it. In the 30 years that I've been doing this work, I hadn't actually gotten to that one. So I wanted to get...
Nothing like a little help from our friends, is there?
No, yeah. I just think, and I really do know that the 21st century is about the real connecting fibers of group consciousness and how amazingly supporting and empowering it is when we're connecting with people of like mind and are moving toward the same goals of healing and freedom and liberation. You know, it's just an amazing time to be alive. I'm really grateful to be alive, and I am profoundly grateful for this work, Michael. I am profoundly grateful. It has totally, totally changed my life. So thank you so much, and I'm so happy that you've just delivered it to so many more people, and I hope that a friend of mine is listening to the show. It's a person I've been interacting with. He's one of our Divine Science ministers, and he said he was going to be on, he would listen to the show. So hello, Gordon. I said I'd be here, so I
Sweet.
Am. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Well, nice
Thank
piece
you
of
so
work,
much.
And I want to just add that, you know, somebody can be totally in their own space and totally on their own and hold that active present love, and certainly
Absolutely.
It's a lot easier with a little help from our friends.
Yeah, and
but
it's
that's
also
not a requirement.
A whole lot easier after you've done this work for a period of time, because
yeah.
cultivating love within ourselves and not expecting the experience to be coming, adjoining to interacting with other people, to be able to actually develop the capacity to be a presence of love within myself is such an amazing, amazing gift, and that's the gift that this work gives us. So, you know, that's part of what I'm so grateful for, Michael. Thank you. Thank you.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. All right. Appreciate you. Blessings.
Aloha.
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 All right. Well, it's about, we've got 40 minutes of room for conversation. By the way, the summer season at Heartland, you know, I want to announce once again that Julie has agreed to do the Pay It Forward program, not just for the Food Fund Forgiveness this year, but for intensives. And she's actually going to start a 10-week series of working with people. If you register for either the Food Fund Forgiveness That'll start the 31st of May, or if you register for the 9-day Y or the 9-day teacher training. And it looks like we're going to kind of short circuit the summer. You know, Jeannie and I were heading back there toward the end of May, and Jeannie and I have been having the conversation that with Dad, being where he's at, and 86, he needs some extra support. So I'm going to go back to Heartland by myself. So Jeannie will not be doing the Women Healing Women 9-day at the same time as I do the Why Is This Happening to Me Again. And so I'm probably going to go back. We haven't finalized this, but I'm probably going to go back and do the 16-day Food Fund Forgiveness and then the 9-day Why. And if we've got enough people to do it, the 9-day teacher training, and then I'm probably going to put the summer on hold. And then there were some people who were interested in doing Laws of Living, probably reorganize and set Laws of Living to happen back in Tennessee before the winter's out. But at this point, that's how the summer looks like it's shaping up. But if you want to, you know, receive that 10 weeks, you know, Julie has offered to spend an hour and a half to 2 hours, 10 sessions. And Julie normally charges $80 an hour for her work. So that's $120 to $160 gift 10 times with registration for the intensive in order to support people coming to the intensive. And, of course, in order to support people or Heartland in moving forward. So if you're interested in doing that, please contact us and make sure you do your registration. And, you know, if money's a challenge, you know, while we do our work as freely and you know, pay our own expenses and as free as we travel, we haven't figured out how to do it for nothing. So money is involved. But we're happy to work with you to break it up in any way that makes it workable for you if finances are a challenge. So Jeannie, do we have anybody else with a hand up? Anything happening in the chat room?
No, we do. We do not have a hand up, and there's several people in the chat room today, and no questions coming from there either. So we've got 38 minutes. Somebody press 1 or dial 563-999-3581 and press 1.
So how is your mind shifter going? You know, a bunch of people got a mind shifter last week. We haven't heard from several of you. And, you know, you don't have to identify yourself personally. You know, if you want to stay anonymous, you know, tell us your name's Charlie or Mary or whatever. It doesn't matter. And share what's happening. And when you model, when people see or hear the modeling of somebody creating an opening, it's 1,000 times more powerful than me saying, oh, well, if you do this, this will happen. When somebody gets the real-time experience, there's another level of it. So one of the reasons we ask you to share that is to open the door for others who perhaps haven't had the experience to be able to shift into that energy and make the shift. So how's your mind shift? How did your mind shift go? What came up for you? You know, the idea of a mind shifter is to tap into an appropriate thought that will resonate and show us parts of our minds that we're hiding from. Of course, the forgiveness process, the wake-up sheet, is about collapsing the perceptions that block awareness of what's happening under the surface and tap into what's happening under the surface. And that mind that resides under the surface is a totally and completely artificial mind. I don't believe that we are designed to have an unconscious. In the ancient scriptures, they called the unconscious the heart. We didn't have a translation for that word. We didn't have a clue what that word meant. We haven't known for almost 2,000 years. It's just the last few decades that we could start to understand that what was being said when they said, take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life, is that the energetic patterns that you hold shut down in you and hidden away, by the very act of shutting them down, it adds intensity to the energy that we hold around those things. And that when we open up and forgive, we collapse in, you can collapse in and touch into that aspect of your mind and remove from your heart. You know, Yeshua says you must forgive from your heart the wrongs of your brother. That's not a bleeding heart statement. You have to let them off the hook for what they're doing. He's saying that if you have something in your unconscious, if you've got a hostility or fear pointed at someone, and you think it's because of their behavior, you're lying to yourself. The reason you have a hostility or fear pointed at someone is because there's hostility or fear in you. And if you bet into your brain's image of your brother, then you're sure that your brother caused that. And that's always, 100% of the time, a lie. And I'll get people say, well, yeah, but what if they really did do it? And it's like, you know what? I got it. I saw them. They really did do it. But whatever it is they did is not the cause of what's moving in you. It's the trigger for what's moving in you, but it's not the cause of what's moving in you. You know, I tell the story in the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop about bringing a native from the jungles of South America and sitting beside a drawbridge and asking this fellow to tell us what it is that causes the drawbridge to go up. And this fellow looks at the bridge and watches and notices that when a boat arrives, the bridge goes up. And then when the boat goes away, the bridge goes down. So he watches. Over a period of several days, he notices that every time the bridge goes up, there's a boat there. So the boat must be the cause of the bridge going up. And he firmly believes that because that's what he's observed. But and then if we were to say to him, well, sir, what is it that you need to do? If your job is to make sure the bridge never goes up again, what is it you need to do? And if he holds a mistaken belief that both cause bridges to go up, you know, he potentially has to change the direction of every boat in the world. And you'll notice that virtually everybody that's upset is trying to change the direction of everybody in their world, trying to solve from the outside a problem that's inside. If we know the truth about bridges, the thing that causes the bridge to go up is that the boat triggers the cause into activity. The boat triggers the bridge tender. The bridge tender pushes a button. The button flips a relay. The relay delivers power to a motor. The motor delivers torque to a gear, and the turning of the gear inside the bridge causes the bridge to go up. And while the boat is involved, it's not the cause. Yes, these other people are involved, but they are not the cause. And when you engage in the forgiveness process, you take that complication out of the equation. You let go of the need to change everybody, and you drop inside yourself. And you find, as I shared with that gentleman who came up to me after the worksheet process and shared that, you know, my whole life I've been in this chaos when there's chaos around me and I haven't understood why it is. And when I canceled the goal, all of a sudden I had the memory of where that started at 8 years of age. Carried around for four decades, traumatized. The same trauma that happened to the 8-year-old was happening to him as a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old, a 40-year-old, and up into close to his 50s. And now he forgives from his heart that which he put into his brain's image of every time that happens. See, that's the cause. And that's the sheer genius of Yeshua's first century Aramaic forgiveness. I am eternally grateful that this man came along with the tools and said, here's how it's done, folks. And to have watched the way the Greeks turned it all backward and made it all about somebody else is an atrocity. And what we're working to do is to restore the truth of Yeshua's first century Aramaic forgiveness process. It is how you collapse what's happening in your conscious logical mind and drop into the heart, where the real problem is. And once you clean that out, what you'll do is you'll eradicate that unconscious mind. There's no reason for us to be unconscious of anything that's moving in us. In our normal, in a natural human state, we would have access to everything in our minds anytime we want. But when we start to hold the breath, we start to go into denial, talk and think as though something outside of us is the cause of what's happening inside of us, then we literally dissociate from something and create this unconscious. Carl Jung says, we do not become enlightened by imagining images of light. We become enlightened by bringing the darkness to the light. There's a line in the Book of Thomas, one of the texts that did not become part of the canonized scriptures. And that line says, what you bring forward from within you will heal you. What you refuse to bring forward from within you will kill you. And he knew exactly how to bring it forward. It's called forgiveness. We do have an app. If you haven't engaged in the process yet, and or you didn't know we had the world's first forgiveness app, it's available free on your phone. If you go to your app store, whether you've got an iPhone or an Android, doesn't matter. Just type in three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And you don't even need to know how to spell Aramaic. If you get the A-R-A in there, the app will be right there. Click. It's a totally private app. It has three different tools in it. It has a simplified form of the forgiveness process, the wake-up sheet. It has the full seven-step form of it. And there's a game for introducing kids to forgiveness. You want to give kids a gift that will eternally benefit them? Hand them the tool of forgiveness. And then, as questions come up, we're here to support you. And once you, you know, have the app on your phone, it is, I want to assure you that you can write anything in it, you know, your most private thoughts, your most private issues. Tell yourself the truth in the app. You'll notice when you look at the app for permissions, it only asks one thing, that the app can access the internet connection. There are no other permissions. Nobody has access to it but you. When you close the app down or you start a new worksheet, that one returns to the energetic world. It's not available. If you choose to, built into the app, that you can print a PDF so that you've got a record of what you've done, but there's no requirement for that. So please pass it on. Let people know. There are video links. There are audio links. The definitions are there in the app. Put it to work. It's awesome. In the meantime, Jeannie, anybody out there with a hand up in the phone queue or anything happening in the chat room?
Yes, we actually do have a hand up, and it's area code 610. You're on the air.
Hi, it's Tim.
Welcome, young man. Good to hear your voice. How are you?
Tim Bingham. I have a question about the wake-up sheet.
Yes.
I'm confused about questions 6 and 7. I've been working on the wake-up sheet, but I don't know how 6 and 7 work. 6 says, I now feel blank about 1 and see that, and ask to be shown a time when I have not fulfilled 3. That's the part that I'm stuck on.
The third part, the 6C. So the idea of 6C, you know, the worksheet is about, you'll notice in step 4, bringing in the presence of love. And it's the presence of love, the presence of the active human life that dissolves the things that don't belong within us. There's another attribute of human life that is compassion. You know, if you look, and I know you guys are somewhat familiar with Buddhism. In Buddhism, the whole idea is to live in compassion. So the idea of step 6 is there's this goal, and I've been, whatever, upset with somebody because they haven't achieved that goal. And now I'm going to ask myself the question, have I ever violated that goal? And what most people find is that 99.9% of the time, the goal they've been wanting someone else to achieve perfectly, they have not achieved perfectly themselves. And so when you detail a time, you look back at number 3 and what was the goal? Gee, I wanted that person to be gentle and nurturing with me. So now I ask myself the question in 6C, have I ever not been gentle and nurturing with myself? Oh my God, I beat up on myself all the time. I haven't been achieving that goal, and here I am angry at someone else, apparently, because they aren't doing that for me. So what tends to happen is when I see that the thing that I'm anticipating or expecting someone else to fulfill perfectly, I don't fulfill perfectly myself, and that tends to open the space for compassion, where one sees, oh, you know, that's right, I don't do so great at that myself, so why am I railing on them for not being perfect at it when I don't do the same. So it tends to open the space for compassion. And that's the reason why I put that step in 6C.
Okay. That's helpful. And in 7, it's in 7, it says, I structure a truly loving goal toward you and offer to you. Who is the you?
The you is whoever I'm doing the worksheet on. So if I'm doing the worksheet on Charlie, because Charlie wasn't loving and gentle and respectful with me, when I get down to step seven, I want to frame and set a goal that for me to achieve toward Charlie. And I want to make that goal, or I want to set that goal based on the issue that's going on with Charlie. So maybe Charlie spoke with me angrily. And my goal was I wanted Charlie to speak to me lovingly, gently, respectfully. So then in step seven, based on that issue, I want to set a goal for me and the actions I will take toward Charlie. So that goal might be, Charlie, whenever I even think of you, I'm going to have a loving, gentle conversation in my mind about you. And that's what I'm committed to. So I'm committing to a goal toward Charlie. And
okay,
that will tend to open still another space of healing when I do that.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Delighted, honored. Glad to be on the team.
Thank you.
All right, and that young lady of yours, is she doing well?
Is she on? Are you on, Sue?
I don't know. Susan, are you there?
I don't know if she is. I think so.
Now I am.
Well,
now
hey there,
I am.
Young lady.
Tim forced my hand here, and I always have questions, but I didn't know where even to start with this. The worksheet that you gave me is, I've never had a worksheet like this. This is like a lifelong investigation. This is going to take days, but I don't know if you remember, Michael, weeks ago I said I didn't know what to do with my journals. And you
right.
say, oh,
yeah,
there's
that.
A gold mine of worksheets in there. I mean, go mine them for all the unresolved issues. And so I didn't mean to go into them looking for material for this mind shifter. But, of course, it's all over the place. They are just full
yep.
of that stuff. And I've drawn some conclusions, and one of the things I wonder about is the conclusions are part of a story. They're the story of
yeah.
things that happened. Well, I guess you have to tell a story, don't you? You have to tell the story because the story is part of the cleaning out process, and then you cancel the goal that had to do with that story. And
right, well,
yeah.
You know, it's interesting that in a state of unconsciousness, we're always telling our story. And in our story, we're always giving information about what the core issue is. You know, the unconscious squeezes out in every direction. And like one of the instructions I'll give in an intensive is, hey, folks, you know, if we need to know something about what you're dealing with, keep it short and sweet. I'm really not interested in your story. We don't have to tell the whole story. The idea is simply to get to the bottom line. So what do we need to get to the bottom line here to see what the thought disorder is and to shift that around? And so, that's why I suggest keeping your worksheets and keeping your journals, because the unconscious is always eking and squeezing out, and when you're ready to deal with it, you'll go, oh, my God, how could I have written that and not known? But
right.
you know, that's just the way this 9-bit mind works. You know, we can keep this little tiny
yeah.
narrow framework in awareness and hide the rest, but can't really
yeah.
hide it. The beauty is if we just watch our words will tell us.
Well, there's a lot of work to be done here.
Welcome to the non-human race.
Well, yeah, right. yeah.
It's a good thing to know that work is there to be done, isn't it? Even though it's not always Dr. Feelgood.
No, it isn't. It's been so disoriented. I felt like a crazy person, like a layer of fog on a layer of fog on a layer, and a lot of fears and all kinds of things. I mean, the Hydra is in full force.
Nice. That's awesome. Good for you. Well, I celebrate with you.
Well, thanks. One thing I learned, and I don't know if I can undo this in my lifetime, but...
You can.
My mother... What?
You can.
Okay. I'll take that at face value and believe it. My mother was very unhappy. And so as a young child, I used to play with dolls. And the fantasy with the dolls was to console some older woman. It was never my mm-hmm. mother, but console some older woman. My young female teachers, I had crushes on them, and I would have fantasies because I knew they were unhappy somewhere down deep. And my life goal was to somehow heal them, make them feel better. Mm-hmm. And it was a tremendous passion, energy. Well, then I matured sexually, and I began forming relationships, all of them based on wanting to fix or heal somebody. It could be a girl, it could be a boy. And I feel as if all my life I've been one foot in the male department and one foot in the female. I was a tomboy that played a hefty, good game of tackle football with the boys in my neighborhood, climbed trees. But I had this incredible set of dolls for whom I made dresses and furniture out of Cheerios boxes. And I had these incredibly tender interchanges with these dolls. And it was the same story. It's a, why is this happening to me again all over the place for my whole life?
Yeah.
So
I hear you.
I'm afraid my sexuality, somehow I landed on the heterosexual side of the fence, but I've always been very sympathetic mm-hmm. to gay people because I thought, what choice did I have? It seems like a miracle because I had crushes on my female friends. I adored them. And it was no different. It had a physical, affectionate component that if I had grown up in a different society, I might be a gay person.
Right.
Somehow I flipped over, and it happened with that professor I told you about. And that's why I was grateful to him, because he thought to himself, oh, no, you're not homosexual at all. I know you're straight, and I'll show you. And he did. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, hooray, good. I'm glad to be on this side of it, because at that time, being homosexual was just unacceptable. And people were in the closet all over the place. Look at what's happening to the
right.
church. I mean, it's just all over the place. And then I know I'm going on and on. I hope you don't mind. But I heard this channel. Her name is Tina Louise Spalding. And she's newly channeling Yeshua. And I listen with all sorts of red flags going up, but everything she has said has been fantastic. And one thing she said along the lines of something was, you know, we put ourselves into straight or gay categories, but if you look at the real human being, we are a huge wide spectrum. And nobody's on totally one side or the other. And I just took that as such a wonderful permission to be all right with the crazy, confused girl that I was and obviously still am. I carried this to poor Tim Bingham. I mean, our marriage, I mean, if I couldn't soothe him or heal him, which was one of my reasons for marrying him, he was depressed. I thought, oh boy, I can make this guy better. And I had a huge heart and passion for fixing my husband. Well, he didn't get fixed. He had his own path and his own issues. And I had to really kind of psychically split from him in order to come back to a man I loved and respected and honored. But it was a different picture. And I've never put all this together. And that one mind shifter, gosh knows, it has just wreaked havoc. We're doing okay, Tim and I, by the way, but that's a whole other thing. I feel as if I'm just one huge ball
and my,
of confusion
my offering,
here.
Yeah, so my offering is that MindShifter has not wreaked any havoc. It's just shown you the havoc that was in your unconscious so that you could bring it up and process it. And notice that in the effort to heal yourself, you didn't have relationships with people. You had projects. And when one has projects like that, it doesn't matter whether it's male and female. There's not going to be any distinction there. When I open the space and I look at my own unconscious and I process through all of that, then I'm no longer driven by aberrant energy or the desire to fix, or I simply live as a human being. It's a different game.
Mm-hmm.
Clarity comes.
Yeah.
But you've got to go through the havoc for the clarity to come. And most people don't want to go there. They just want to shut it down. And, you know, if I need a fifth of scotch to keep this hidden from myself, that's what I'll do.
Yeah. Right.
And notice, you know, in the last year or so, there are a couple of people who've been at the church and such, and you're still doing projects.
Tell me what you mean. I don't understand.
Just, you've shared a couple of times some of the conflicts you've had with people in your church and such, and it's still working out on those projects. And while when you clean up those unconscious dynamics, you will still be there and be able to support those people, but it won't be a project that comes from, and notice how close the word project is to project.
Yeah.
Where it's a projection of an unconscious dynamic, you'll have cleaned it up and you'll simply be there as the active presence of love, as support for the healing of whatever that issue is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, some years ago I went through AA. I went to AA for Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous for this particular issue of feeling a passionate interest in a person and wanting to heal them. And it was all confused. And I really did a lot of healing using that program. So even though I still do that, and you're right, I still do that, it's not, knock on wood, not on the level of intensity that used to be. Such a relief. I always thought it was just because I was getting older, but you sort of blew that one out of the water. You said, oh, no, it doesn't matter how old you are. You can still be extremely sexual and interested in all that stuff. So I'm looking at that too. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Well, nice work. That, you know, there's a fabulous line in the Course in Miracles that says, when you are healed, you are never healed alone. And everybody that's carrying that confusion and that whole gender thing, your opening and moving through that opens it for everybody. And that's an awesome gift to give. To have the courage to go in and face that stuff. It's pretty powerful. You know, Roma talked about had the courage to go in and face something pretty deep. And everybody who does that opens a space for it to be easier, literally on a global scale, to do that, because the energetic window is opened by somebody who chooses to pass through it.
Well,
so nice
I'm
work.
Up for more dialogue, even with other people on this, you know, who are listening. If it's, oh, what was that? It sounds like a baby elephant raising its trumpet.
Yeah, it did. We just found, you know, Jeannie's been doing some research with babies and such, and found out that, you know, of course, an elephant can't put its thumb in its mouth, but the baby elephants actually use their trunks in the same way that a baby uses its thumb. They do exactly the same thing.
I'm not surprised. That's funny.
A little cute aside.
Well, if there's nobody else in the phone queue, I have another question unrelated.
Go for it.
Jeannie, is there anybody else with a hand up? Because I
you
know
got
you're
the
working
right
on
now, sweetie. You know, you go for it. And we do have another hand up, but you go for it.
No, why don't I turn it over? Because you're doing mind shifters, and it might be a mind shifter person. This question can wait.
Okay. Well, long as you make a note of it, and we'll come back to it. All right, Jeannie, you've got somebody else with a hand up. Let's say hello.
All right. It is area code 205. You are on the air.
This is Joan in Birmingham.
Well, hey there, young lady.
Yes. I don't have a mind shifter's question. I just wanted to share with everybody what a miraculous week this has been. I was sharing with Michael earlier that last year, Jeannie, when both of you were here, I was delighted to have you here and totally enjoying your company. But a lot of this stuff, I just didn't get it, or I wasn't conscious of getting it. And this year, it's just like, oh, yeah, I see. Oh, okay. So I have developed enough brain cells that I'm just really so appreciating this so much more and able to use it and observing people, like Michael said yesterday in our still point breathing. I happened to be with the person who was experiencing a lot of processing a lot of physical pain, and was able to be right there with Michael as he worked with her, and it was awesome. It was startling, and that was Saturday, and then yesterday this person came into church telling me, you know, how depression that she's had for years has lifted. It's just amazing. Really miraculous.
It is amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm with you on that. To watch people who've been carrying around, you know, that those bags of garbage that are, and it's totally unnecessary if they were just handed the tools.
Right.
Go ahead.
Anyway, I've so enjoyed your being here, and I've just learned so much.
Honored and delighted, and thank you for hosting me. And thank you for all the work you've done to put the week together. It's been fabulous.
That's all I have.
All right, young lady, we'll see you in a little bit. We'll look forward to Laws of Living. So anybody that's in the Birmingham area, come and join us at Unity of Birmingham, 7 to 9:30 or 9 o'clock. We're going to do Laws of Living, an introduction, and get an understanding of this idea of law. All right. So
awesome. Well, we've got 7 minutes. Let's go back to Susan. Nobody else has a hand up. So, Susan, you're back on.
Yay. Thank you so much. Tina Louise Spaulding, this medium, and she's delightful and very unassuming. And she says, look, I'm just a regular person, but I've been doing A Course in Miracles for X years, something like 14. And she said, all of a sudden, I was being a channel. And so here I am. And often I'll hear what I said afterwards, and I'll think, I'm not doing that. And so she's really very unassuming, totally delightful. If you ever wanted to listen to her, Tina Louise Spaulding on YouTube, tons of stuff. Anyway, my question was, she said that Jesus told her that human beings are on many spiritual levels, but that the human incarnation is a low one. A low one. And of course, my ego jumped up and said, oh, phooey, you know. I don't want to be, you know, some low creature. I want to be high on the echelons. And I remember hearing a minister of a fundamentalist church that I belonged to as a teenager, and that's a long story, but one thing he said, their basis was Gnostic texts. And he said the same thing. He said, Earth is a melting pot of low souls and high souls. The high souls help the low souls. It's a big hodgepodge here. Other levels, it's much, people are on more or less one particular level or so. But on Earth, it's a huge range from very dark, people just coming out of the ultimate darkness, and people who are almost angels or at one with God. She made it a little more graphic by saying that the human incarnation is a low one, and I made a sorry face in my journal when I heard that. But I just wondered if you had a comment about that.
Well, my thought would be that, you know, the human incarnation, the human form, is just a form. It is nothing, but mm-hmm. it is a medium or a mode of expression, and it is human life that is the high expression. So we can live out of a full high expression. You know, I can be listening to Boston Philharmonic through a $10 transistor radio, and I'm listening to a pretty low expression. Or mm-hmm. I can turn to the $100,000 sound system and really listen to the Boston Philharmonic. And, man, it's rocking. I mean, I'm really hearing the Boston Philharmonic. So it's the instrument. So my take would be that this power that flows through us is working to develop these instruments to be the expression of who we really are. We are already created as the active presence of love. We are already created as the ultimate. And the idea, you use the word incarnate, the idea is to incarnate. If you go to the mm-hmm. whole Eastern theology, the idea is to incarnate, to bring the human being, love, fully into expression with zero conflict so that everybody functions as that $100,000 stereo system right here, right now, because that's our destiny to do. That would be my take on it.
That's great. Boy, you pull that right out of your own little noodle there. That's really good.
No, actually, it's Ruka's answer. You know, all you need to do is have the right question, and it pulls the answer forward. And so when we're listening, and that's something, you know, the whole idea of this work is to connect each and every person to that power in them. You listen to Yeshua 2,000 years ago, and he says, you can deny me, but don't deny the one I came to connect you with. That's what it's about. And so everybody's now, you know, chasing him and wanting his magic words and thinking magic words about him is going to produce a result. It's not what he came for. He came to connect you to your highest expression of being and to support you in incarnating as that.
Good. Thanks.
And so every one of us has the opportunity for the exact same and equal incarnation to incarnate fully as human beings, as the active presence of love, and experience the expression that the active presence of love is in form. So that's the process.
It's interesting that somewhere in Scripture, Jesus was called the human one. Do you know what I'm talking about? I just read it, and I can't tell you where I read that, the human one. But you're talking about a real human being, of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
We are human beings. We are the offspring. You know, if you look at the world of elephants, the offspring of an elephant we call an elephant. The offspring of a cat we call a cat. The offspring of a dog we call a dog. The offspring of God we call God. The offspring of love we call love. We are one in that state, in that space, and we're designed to experience and express as that. If we've lost awareness of that, we call that a low expression, and the instrument is fitted for the low expression. Cleaning up the instrument upgrades the instrument from the $10 stereo system to the $100,000 speaker system that gives vent to, gives expression to what we are created as. But the being is always shiny and new in that full expression. And we're down to the last few seconds, so the show is going to be cutting us off. So I'm just going to say thank you for those questions. Thank you for the sharing, Dr. Tim. Appreciate you and blessings, everybody. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes, and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.